so clear. Resolution got me higher. Somebody tell me how your man's on a jetpack in the sun. Somebody tell me how your man's on a jetpack in the sun.
CITR 101.9 FM. This is the Ink Studs, the radio show where we talk about comics. And today, I think I'm going to talk about comics. Does that
Surprise!
Sound good? And I'm really being respected by my fellow DJs at the station here. That awkward pause was on purpose. Today's guest is Dash Shaw. Dash is the creator of many wonderful books, including the massive tome Bottomless Belly Button. It's big and it's good. I think I wish I had that quote for me, but that would just be awkward. How are you doing, Dash?
I'm good.
Good. I got you there. Okay. How are you doing today?
Today I've just been drawing and I don't know.
You
like every other day.
You must do a lot of drawing. I guess the amount that you get out is quite substantial. How many pages do you think you get done in a day?
Well, it depends. I always liked people who did a lot of work, and that combined with I'm really into like time management books, things like that. So I try to milk as much of I can out of each day.
Mm-hmm.
And so today I'm inking a lot of Body World pages, and I just sent out a comic for Swindle magazine because Joel Spiesmaker, he used to edit the drama, and now he edits the comic section of Swindle. I've never heard of Swindle magazine before, but
neither have I.
Yeah, he asked me to do something. Yeah, there's all these publications and never heard of any of them.
People love comics all of a sudden. It's a good thing, I think. Now,
it's good with Joel, because Joel, he did the drama, which was this really amazing, classy magazine out of Richmond, Virginia. But then some of these magazines, they don't know comics at all, and so
I've seen that, and they tend to pick the first thing they find on the web, and half the time it's something that has a dinosaur that doesn't move. And
oh, right, the dinosaur comics.
I don't like it, I'll be honest. Doesn't do anything for me.
All right.
I know a lot of people do, and I'm probably being a douche, but I don't care. So tell me...
It's those kind of text text-driven comics, you know, like was the kind of clip art with the text, like Red Meat. Red Meat is drawn, but he just uses the same drawings over and over.
I enjoy
they're more like humorist, you know, like Get Your War On, those guys.
I enjoy the Red Meat, actually. I like that one because it's so over the top and absurd. It's just something.
But it's just they're all the same. Each strip, it's just like it's so predictable. I don't know why you pick, like, look at it anymore.
Oh, look, the guy from Red Meat has a bodysuit made out of poop and he's inhaling it. Something like that for the most part. I think I've read many like that. So tell me about Bottomless Belly Button.
What do you want to know, man?
Where did it come from? Like, what did you have in mind when you started? Because it's, what, 800 pages?
It's less than that.
Okay.
But
it's a lot of pages.
I'd just done The Mother's Mouth, which had, I thought, I really liked the character designs, the way the characters were drawn and the way they look next to each other. But I didn't do a lot of kind of character-driven scenes, and I wanted to do an all-character-driven comic. And so my idea was to do something that it felt like the characters drew themselves and they were each telling their own story, like their own autobiographical comic. But then all of these comics are kind of intersecting with each other. And so it makes like a tapestry of these different people's stories. So there's a lot of things where someone, two people where we know kind of where each one is coming from intersect. And it creates, you know, like a comedic or, you know, a situation.
A tragic comedy. A tragic comedy.
Yeah, you know, I like these kind of juxtapositions, I guess. I like things that are in these between spaces where it's not really, it's kind of funny but sad, or scenes are like an ugliness but like beautiful, or I hope beautiful sequences of kind of ugly drawings, or maybe the people are being ugly to each other or the designs are ugly, but it's in kind of a larger thing that's beautiful. Or, you know, like the book is long but the style of the scenes is very slow, and so it reads very quickly, so it's kind of between like a long book and a short book. And I like shooting for these gray areas, where these kind of exciting places to me.
Well, that's the thing. People look at Bottomless Belly Button and it probably seems daunting, but I just pounded through it.
Right. It's basically a combination of the things I was doing in The Mother's Mouth and the short stories, where they were kind of like facing pages of juxtaposing drawings that are kind of not really rhythmical, but kind of like these different images next to each other, plus Japanese comics, you know. And Japanese comics kind of have their own pace, particularly the comics that are like the early post-Tezuka comics. And then things like Jules Pfeiffer's book Tantrum, which read really quickly, that felt like really kind of tied together nicely, and layouts that are more from like alt cartoonists, like Chester Brown had those kind of panels that are scattered, so they're like these frozen scattered panels. But minor, like a lot of negative space, large gutters, but they follow a grid format. So it's kind of, I think Nick Bertozzi did that in a book called The Salon. No, not The Salon, The Masochists.
I haven't read that one.
That had large gutters, but and kind of floating panels, but they're in a grid. At least that's what I remember. I haven't seen it in a while.
Is it kind of going for the effect to create a stop in the story when you use the more independent paneling?
I mean, it can be used for a lot of different things, you know. Sometimes the panels like snake along, so it feels like it it doesn't stop it, because you're not like going to the top of each page. It's more like a scroll across. And then other times it is like moment, like two unrelated things, or the sequence where the panels kind of get larger and it's moment-to-moment transitions, and then it breaks into like different frozen images, more like you look at just at a drawing by itself. So, and it's different for different scenes, but you know, I'm trying to make like atmospheric, you know, exciting. But you know, it's sequences. It's kind of if you read comics the way I do, and there's probably not a lot of people out there, but these things do, you know, create a feeling. And so it isn't really like a, why is this panel here? What does that mean? It's more like you're just reading it along and creates kind of an engrossing experience.
Well, why don't we talk a bit about that, about what brought you into comics and what were some of the influences? And kind of want to, because, I mean, Bottomless Belly Button certainly is not your first work, just your largest. So there's still a lot of that to talk about as well. So what was your earliest, I guess, wonderments with comics?
Earliest, like, memories of comics?
What really sucked you in?
Well, it's always hard to answer this question because I got into comics really early. My dad read comics, and they were always lying around. And so I started reading them very early, and then I went through stages, you know, of different things. I don't really have, like, a very first comic memory. I remember the comics that my dad had. My dad had the kitchen sink spirit, you know, like magazine format books. And he had a box of underground comics, like just everything like Zap and Fever Dreams and all these things. And
Frank
he had
Brothers.
Them in a little crawl space that was between my room and my parents' bedroom. And I would go in there because, like, it was cool to kind of crawl in these little spots of the house. And I'd look at those comics, and they really, like, weirded me out. And he also had those small mad reprint books, like with the Tarzan spoof on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know, I mean, I could go on, you know, like I was hardcore into Japanese comics in elementary school and middle school. I would go to all the anime conventions, and that was kind of like just as that wave was hitting, that was when I was getting into it, you know? Like, when I, like, started, I went to the video store, and there was New Dominion Tank Police and, like, the Giver, and that was it. And maybe Akira. And then, like, each time I would go back, there was more and more, and it started growing. And then I, you know, Warriors of the Wind, then the crappy, like, Nausicaä VHS was there, and I'd watch that over and over again. And then, like, it just, like, exploded when I was in, I think, middle school, maybe late middle school, and then suddenly, like, all the, like, kajillions of people were at Otakon, you know? But a lot of Japanese comics, I really like, Bill Sienkiewicz, or Sienkiewicz.
I think it's Kevich, because of the, I know this is a really terrible, geeky thing I'm going to say, because of a reference in Cerebus, the Moon Knight character's secret identity, and that was based on Bill Sienkiewicz. His name was Kevich.
I read like Bone, THB. I read everything, man.
Just voraciously.
But actually, I didn't. The comic store that was nearby, it didn't carry like Love and Rockets or anything. So I read like everything that I could get, and we didn't have, like, any Fantagraphics books. I found out, like, Chris Ware in high school, and that, like, really, like, hit me really hard, Chris Ware. But before that, I'd see those things sort of around. Like, my friends read Optic Nerve, but I never got into Optic Nerve. like Palookaville. I think I saw like a pamphlet of that.
So when did you decide you wanted to draw comics?
When did I decide I wanted to draw them?
Yeah.
Again, that was something that started really early, that I'd work on them when I was really little, and then I just kept doing it. I never had like a break when I didn't draw comics. Just the comics changed a whole lot. Like in elementary school, they were like super manga-y, or middle school. And then in high school, they were getting like more like mixed, like Dave McKean stuff, like Bill Sienkiewicz. And then I started doing illustrations for the Richmond Times-Dispatch supplement. And so everything was like more like illustrative looking. I've always wanted to be a cartoonist, you know?
Well, did you go to school, or was it pretty much self-taught along the way, like art school, post-high school?
Oh, no, I went to SVA.
Oh, okay. I did not know that. So you probably had some mighty fascinating instructors while you were there.
Yeah. I had David Mazzucchelli. I had my senior portfolio teacher was Gary Panner.
Oh, wow.
I had a lot of great teachers. Yeah, it was good.
Just right there, two of the most important cartoonists in
cartooning. Yeah, I know, man. I always liked these people who would change their drawings, and then when I was a freshman at SVA, they have the SVA library, and I would spend a lot of time there, and I saw Gary Panner and Keith Marison's work, and it totally, like, changed everything, you know. Those two, their books, like, really made so much sense to me.
Which Panther book was it?
Oh, which I don't. I mean, it was probably Jimbo in Paradise.
Okay,
and I don't. I mean, the SVA library has so much stuff. It was more like I would just get everything that they had done at that point. like they have a huge like archive of the Comics Journal in the back. And so you could find, like, that Matt Kelly interview that he did for them. It's a nice library.
But, Matt, you're talking about changing styles, and Matt Kelly is very much a good example of that, because he went straight from the most boring superhero stuff to slowly creating incredible superhero stuff and then just disappearing from that world altogether into doing incredible pieces of work.
Yeah.
Now, what was your first, was Love Eats Brains your first book, or was that the
same? Those were like pamphlets that I did early college, and then I did Garden Head for Meat House, and I would do short stories for Meat House. I did mini comics in high school, in college, I because the Meat House issue 7 was square sized, and the SVA magazine was square sized too, called Visual Opinion. I started doing all these square sized stories that were collected in Goddess Head.
Okay.
And then my senior portfolio class, the project was The Mother's Mouth, that came out from Alternative, and then. Shortly before I graduated, I started working on Bottomless Belly Button.
So you went to SVA with all the Meat House guys, like Farrell and James, and
they were leaving,
oh, okay.
Or had just left as I came in.
Aww.
So I missed them, which is really sad. All those guys are really cool, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I had just moved to New York from Richmond, and I met them at SP Exiles, because they're friends with Becky Cloonan, who I was already friends with from anime conventions. She introduced me to them, and I still see Tom Herpick occasionally. He's in New York now, but for the most part, everyone's spread out. But those guys were really cool, like cool people. You know, they weren't like nerdy cartoonists.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I think it's important to see people like that when you're like a nerdy cartoonist.
But they can be just as nerdy as the rest of us.
Yeah, I mean, they're into nerdy things, but they were like really like, I think, like socially capable, you know,
yeah,
friendly guys. And they left a big impression on the school, especially James Jean. Really like blew up SVA, and like my class and the class above my class, because James Jean had already graduated, were like cluttered with like James Jean wannabes.
Aww.
Yeah. It's understandable, you know, but it really, like, I don't know. They shook up that school, and like when I was there, there wasn't really anything like that.
Well, all the guys that I've met, they're all incredibly talented. I mean, you got James Jean, you got Farrell Dalrymple, you got Esau Andrews. I probably mispronounced his name, and then Brandon Graham and Becky and all
those.
Yeah,
Brandon. Folks. Brandon's a total genius, you know. And I would walk around the city with him, and that was when he was working for NBM and doing the porno comics for Sizzle.
The Pillow Fight?
Yeah, it was collected into Pillow Fight, and there was another collection of it, Perverts of the Unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And he, like, he's so cool and so talented, and he like, leaves people in their wake, too, you know? Like, I see, like, a lot of, like, post-Brandon Brandon Graham people around because he really, like, he's really passionate, and he's super talented and totally, like, unpretentious, and he's great. You know, he, like, people talk to him and see his work and, like, think, I want to be like that guy.
He's a swell feller. I will have to agree. Every time I see him, he's got a big stack of, here, look at these pages I've done over last week, and it's, you know, like, a ridiculous amount of productivity.
Yeah, and he'll just draw those pages. He'd carry around this huge like portfolio bag and just be working on pages in like the cafe at the Virgin Megastore or something. Just drawing these like bubble faced porn comics.
Was it blue?
Blue?
The bag. I think it's the same one he has now.
It's probably the same one.
I think we're going to do a quick song break because we're almost half past, 25 past. Okay. What would you like me to play?
Oh, just one of the songs. I don't remember.
O Ritorno de Love Fox. How's that one?
Yeah, can I say something?
Yeah.
Yeah, these songs are by this band Hot Lava from Richmond, Virginia. And they're really a good Richmond band. An exciting show.
Well, there we go. Hot Lava and O Ritorno de Love Fox. And we'll be right back. Inkstuds talking to Dash Shaw. I must say, that is lovingly poppy. I love it.
Yeah, it's really fun.
The music director was just in here for the station. He's like, just chatting. He's like, what is this? So it got Luke Meat's seal approval, too. So that's always good. This is Inksteads. We're back with Dash Shaw. I'll let you know some shows we got coming up. Next week, I will be joined by Ed Brisson and a bunch of people that he hasn't figured out who it's going to be yet to talk about the book 3 of You Ain't No Dancer, his ongoing anthology of goodness, which features a beautiful cover by Kazimir Strzepek, who I probably mispronounced. And that's too bad, Kazimir. That's too bad. Week after will be Pete Bagg, and Eric Reynolds will be joining us too for half the show to talk about the action suits, and we'll talk about a bunch of other stuff with Pete, who will be in town for a art opening. Not art opening. That's Ed's show. We're doing an art opening. Pete, he's coming to Vancouver for Word on the Street at the Vancouver Library main downtown branch. And just for folks in Vancouver, take a look. Go to Lucky's right now, and they got a wonderful show of stuff by Peter Thompson. And just go into the back of the store and check it out. It's good. So, and now we're back with our guest, Dash Shaw. How you doing, Dash?
I'm fine. Still here.
Still here. I haven't scared you away.
No.
No, that's good. I don't think anyone's hung up on me yet, but I think Dave Sim would have if I asked too many of the wrong questions. Your online strip, Body World, how far is that going to go? It seems like the story's still developing in a way.
It's 12 chapters.
Okay.
And we're at chapter 8?
Yeah.
So it's got a while to go.
I'm loving it.
It still feels like it's developing, like, when's it going to start?
No, not when it's going to start. It's just the characters keep moving, I guess, is that like sometimes you can see the ending coming, and it just seems like, I don't know, I'm enjoying the characters in there.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's quite fascinating, and why don't you tell people a little bit about what it is?
Body World is a webcomic I put on my site. It's just my name, dashshaw.com, and it's weekly. And I put up between 4 to 6 pages every week, and it's in like a long kind of scroll down format that a lot of webcomics use. And it's about telepathy. It's about a man who's going around America smoking different plants and recording his experiences into an encyclopedia of hallucinogenic effects of North American wildlife. And so he's smoking the plants and then, you know, writing it down, and the plants that he finds at this small town called Boneboro is a plant that's from, and we don't know yet, but it's from an alien race, and it grants people telepathic powers. But it's, you know, the approach to telepathy is different. It's not like I would read someone's thoughts as if they were words being spoken to me. It's more like my mind would become their mind, or my hand would become their hand. And so it's kind of a body-mind telepathy, and it kind of has stages, and then a lot of different things happen. And he encounters different people in the town, and there's a lot of, like, sort of rotating relationships where of the four main characters, sort of each one will be in a quasi-romantic relationship with each other character. And the telepathy is kind of like super knowing, or like super being inside another person's body. It's hard to explain, man.
It's very, there's a couple of people that sticks out to me that in a good way, it kind of has that Burroughs and kind of Philip K. Dick feeling.
I like Philip K. Dick. I like those guys.
And it kind of reminds, do you ever read Burroughs's South American journal, or the Yahe letters he sent back and forth with Ginsberg?
No.
He went to, I forget which country it was, but he went on a search for this drug, Yahe, which apparently when you smoke it, would give you telepathic powers.
Oh, well, I have to read this.
Yeah, and that it kind of reminded me a little bit of that. But you've kind of taken a different way because it's not telepathic powers.
Body-mind telepathy or something. Yeah. I'm not sure what to call it.
Well, I recommend reading the... it's a short little book from City Lights. And it's
I should definitely read it. I try to there's just not a lot of quality telepathy material out there, you know.
No.
I love telepathy, and it really frustrates me when I hear that something is about telepathy and then I read it and it's just more talking in another person's mind or something like that. It doesn't really approach how, you know, telepathy in an interesting way.
You're looking more of an empathetic telepathy.
Right. Yeah. You know, everything that I do is very body centric. I like character designs that are kind of about different bodies, and even in Bottomless Belly Button, I like the main conversation between Peter and Kat is them kind of trying to figure out how much of their own body they can see, their own face. And it comes from figure drawing and all of these things. So the body is, you know, important to me, I guess.
And that would go well with the title Body World.
Right. Yeah, Body World, that's a lot of sci-fi books, River World, Day World, Ring World. So I get to do Body World.
What kind of stuff has influenced you for that? Because you're talking about looking for stuff on telepathy, and I noticed that there's a Leary book in the story.
Yeah, well, that's because of the character. I figured that the character would be into Timothy Leary and kind of drug stuff because he's a druggie. but I'm not really into drugs. You know, I'm more into this idea of telepathy. You know, these subject matters, it feels like everyone's very subject matter focused. Like you did a book about a family. I like books about families or about divorce, and so I get people writing to me about divorce. But for me, I just thought that the parents divorcing would create kind of an atmosphere in the book. I'm thinking about atmosphere and these other things. I don't have any real thoughts about divorce.
Well, it seemed to.
And then Body World, I get emails from kind of like people who want to smoke up with me or something. You know, I'm one of those kind of guys. They're going to do an interview with High Times Magazine or something. No one from there has emailed me or anything like that. But, you know, I'm really into that stuff. But for me, I just telepathy, it wouldn't be something that you would train yourself to be able to do, you know? It would be something that would have to be an ability given to you, and then smoking a plant felt like how that would happen, and then I created the character out of that, and so
it was a story device.
Right. Well, I mean, I just think that if telepathy was to actually occur, that's how it would happen, you know. And then I do like Pauly Panther, you know, he's a funny character to me, and so I kind of, you know, I work those things into him, but I'm not really super into drug culture.
That's okay.
I
just think that you'll like the Burroughs one.
Definitely check it out.
But Philip K. Dick is definitely, you're saying, an influence for you. And I can kind of see that in maybe your Bohm stories as well.
Yeah, I really like the kind of high concept sci-fi writers. Philip K. Dick and the author of Dayworld, Philip Jose Farmer. I like those kind of twisty, brainy, little knot stories that are really, conceptually tight, you know? They're really fun. And, you know, and sci-fi offers so many, exciting, visual inventions, you know? Brandon Graham, He throws in all of this stuff on the page, all these little cool little graphic things.
all the fantastic little beautiful things that just pop out of his brain. And I think that's interesting. You talk about Brannon and these other guys, is that sci-fi, it's kind of like a real world sci-fi instead of like a fantasy sci-fi.
Yeah, I really wanted to do like cool, like exciting looking sci-fi thing, but all of my, you know, it's always about like the people. Like I can't get out of that. I would like to do something that is more, you know, not as like real life sci-fi stuff. But I mean, it couldn't, like, besides the plant coming from another planet, Body World could take place today and and be the same. I mean, it's just most of it's like in this forest town, or, you know, it doesn't have like a lot of like crazy set pieces and weird stuff. You know, it's just a very like low key. The idea is that it's crazy outside of this town. Like outside of this town, it's like Sky Captain of Tomorrow and all these like big skyscrapers of crazy stuff. But inside Bony Burrow, it's like an experimental forest town, and so it just looks like the woods.
It's a safe zone.
Yeah.
One thing you do with Body World is you have it very, I guess, strategically planned out, the town and stuff. Tell me about the conceptualizing that aspect, because it seems like it's very important that you have everything marked on a grid of where it would take place.
Yeah, that stuff comes from stories being like a place. And when I'm at the drawing board, I want to feel like transported to this world. And so that's in Bottomless and Body World, where everything is in a contained kind of area where we know where everything is. So then I can follow the characters and know where the characters are at each moment. It helps me kind of visualize this environment. And then in Body World, it becomes more kind of integral to the story. But I don't want to say why yet.
And,
no, it's spoilers, man.
And people can check it out online at dashshaw.com. That is correct.
Yep.
I'm going to do another quick song break, I think. Any particular song, or should I just randomly pick one?
You can just pick one.
I like the name Mummy Beach. How's that song? Sound good?
Sure.
I haven't even listened to this album, but I like the name of the song. So we'll be right back. We're listening to Hot Lava, right? And we'll be right back. Inkstud's talking to Dasha.
The sun's beating down, don't you watch better? I don't see a bad man, the text is
I don't even think the beach theme is kind of apropos with bottomless belly button.
Yeah, I like these kind of nice locations like woods and beaches. Like they're already abstract, you know. Like water is just these lines, these wavy lines, and you can draw it in a million different ways. And sand is just stippling, and you can change the stippling. And trees can just be whatever. And I like those kind of locations.
Is nature important in your own personal life?
Nature?
Yeah.
I was a Boy Scout. I was an Eagle Scout. I still, once and always, an Eagle Scout.
Wow. Always prepared.
I'm like bragging on this radio show.
Pardon?
I'm bragging on this radio show that I'm an Eagle Scout.
Well, you know, if there's any kind of disaster at the next comic convention, someone's got to save everyone's life. It's going to be you.
Yeah, except all I did was like sit in this tent playing Dungeons and Dragons. I mean, like I don't think I remember any of the knots, anything.
But do you still have your 20-sided die?
My girlfriend still has a bunch of dice. She plays D&D.
Okay.
I stopped playing. I had to give it up.
It's kind of a drug.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's like so much time, you know?
It's
just this whole thing. And like comics has just replaced it for me.
I think comics are a wise choice.
Comics are a wiser choice, you say?
Yeah, for taking up time. Now, the interesting about Body World is it's quite lengthy so far, and you've tossed it online. What was the choice of publishing it all online first?
At that point, I was kind of finishing Bottomless, and I was really into looking at web comics. I guess I still am. I don't have the time for it much anymore. But I would go to like Drunk Duck, onlinecomics.net, and sort of just try to find these, try to see like as much as I could of what was coming out online. And I really liked this kind of world of online comics of like a 12-year-old kid somewhere doing like a Dragon Ball Z type universe, and it's a completely created world that this kid has, you know, like he has maps for the world and like explanations for all the characters, you know, like character dossiers or whatever. And he's just like doing this, just like he doesn't care about like anything, you know. He's just like putting out these pages, you know, it'll say like, you are the 10th person to look at this site or something.
Aww.
And I wanted to be like this kid and put my mind in that place. And it made a lot of sense to me. And I thought I should do this online. And I already knew I wanted to get away from facing pages and thinking about a book, because it just created like, my mind got too stuck in it, you know. Like I couldn't change a scene halfway through a page. I'd have to like end the page. I couldn't have something on the lower right hand of the spread that would reveal something. It'd have to be at the upper left. And it just created this web of thoughts. I mean, it goes like on from there, you know. Like once I started thinking about this stuff, it just creates more problems. So I just thought a grid. And I'm just going to focus on these panels, and the panels are going to be like little, like animation moments, you know, and just keep doing it, and just think about the story and the sequence in these little squares. And it made sense to do it online. Also, I mean, at that point, nobody would have published it, you know. I think I showed it to Dark Horse, and they never like told.
Doesn't
never
really
wrote me back.
Seem like something they would ever publish. Unfortunately, I think if you had like Predator in there somewhere, or like one of them had a lightsaber.
I wanted it to be like Star Wars, you know. Like maybe I'm crazy, but I think this is like Star Wars. And like coloring, I do a lot of the color separations on different sheets and kind of composite it. And so I really felt like George Lucas. Like I would think like, oh, I'll do this little part on this other drawing and I'll composite it in. And then, you know, when I'm finished with it, I'll go back and like add little creatures and the background. And but now I'm like, fucking computer, I hate all the work.
So when you do the stuff for Body World, it's not done in page format? You just do it panel by panel, or how does it work for your...
I draw it on a page, you know.
Okay.
So they're not drawn separate panels. I draw them on a 12-panel grid page. But now it's moving to... well, later it moves to three tiers, so it'd be 9-panel grids. And then I just do a lot of other drawings on, you know, like color separations. It's a combination of like how Batman Year One was colored on acetate sheets.
Oh, really?
And,
So you don't do any computer color, or you do a bunch pre-computer?
I combine it, you know? So some of it is like Chris Ware, where like, I don't know if Chris Ware paint buckets, but I paint bucket and then I select the lines and I make it the same color of whatever I paint bucket it in. And then other things are color separations that are kind of like animation background-type cells. So, like, parts of Goddesshead and half of Love Eats Brains was done this way on acetate sheets. And then, so it's really, it's like a lot of different things, you know? I don't do any line that's just drawn on the computer. Everything is done by hand. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. I just know a lot of people avoid as much as they can to do things on the computer, or to do things so they can do it just on the computer. So it's interesting to hear someone that is putting a lot of the hands-on process work into it. Now, the exciting part for you for Body World is what happened with it.
What happens with it?
What happened as far as publishing?
Oh, well, Pantheon's going to put it out.
It'll be a
vertical format book. It'll have a top and a bottom page instead of a right and left page. And then the maps are going to open up on kind of like French flaps, so they're to the right of the top and bottom spread. So it'll be like, I'm trying to mimic the experience of reading it on the computer, you know, where the maps are supposed to be in separate tabs. So in the book, they'll be on like this, you know, like a French flap that would open to the right of the reading
panels. That's incredible. Interesting.
I'm glad that you, it sounds like you'd like it. Because it'll be a weird, like, object, and I'm sure some people won't like it, but I want to do it that way.
No, that sounds fascinating. How many pages will it end up being?
It'll be 360 pages.
Wow. That'll be a big tome. Not as big as other books, but I guess it'll be, the pages will be what, like 8.5 by 11 or 9 by 11?
It'll have to be a little smaller.
Okay.
Because if you have this thing that's like a vertical thing and you open it up, like, it'd just be really clumsy to hold.
Mm-hmm.
So I want it to be as big as I can and not be clumsy. So it'll probably just be a little bit bigger than, the Pantheon Icehaven book. You know,
oh, okay.
And only instead of like reading across, we'll read up and down.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So maybe like the size of. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then coming up soon, you have an art show this month.
Yeah, at Duke University, John Hope Franklin Center. 25th is the opening, and 26th is Derry Panner and I talking.
And so he's going to be asking you questions, right? Or is it just going to be a conversation?
I'm just going to, like, we're going to talk. you know, I think it'll go well. I'm going to do some slides before it.
Of what kind of stuff?
Oh, just samples of work, you know, comic pages, I guess, that are going to be on display. And if you can't come to it, I think that the Gary talk will be online somehow, and there will be a small, like, 32-page zine for the gallery that Picture Box is doing, and that'll be on their website.
Oh, nice.
And that'll have kind of things from the show and other, like, random drawings and some of the color separations for Body World and animation frames from the Bottomless Belly Button animation that I did.
And that is also viewable at dashsaw.com.
Oh, that animation is on the Fantagraphics site.
Oh, okay.
But I'll link to it from my site.
I'll try and post it on the stud site too if I can. To have.
Oh, cool. Yeah, interview. I'm sure Eric Reynolds will send you the link.
Eric, please be nice. There we go. Anything else that we have to look forward by you? Or just...
Well, I mean, I'm working on a lot of stuff, but I guess I hope that people, you know, if they're into it, will just look at Body World. It's free. I mean, it's just sitting there.
And the other thing that you have posted on somewhere online is your Doctor Strange comic.
Yeah, that was for a Marvel anthology. And it's just sitting on someone's desk right now because the original editor, Aubrey Sitterson, left Marvel, and so it was handed to a different editor. I also do stories for Moam.
Mm-hmm. I should mention, yeah, I forgot to, we didn't even talk about those, in books 10 and 11. You've got a story in each of those.
Yeah, I've been in all of them since 10.
Okay, I don't have a copy of 12 yet. So, I'm sorry.
No, I don't care. Don't apologize to me.
And you'll be in the upcoming issues?
Yeah. I have a story called Satellite CMYK that'll be in whatever one is that hasn't come out yet. And I did the cover for it, for that issue, too. And it's the cover, it ties into the Satellite CMYK story.
Nice. Well.
Nice.
Good. I love the Momenthal Jack. I think it's a fabulous, fabulous compendium of goodness. There's so many talented folks in it. So I'm always happy to read them. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dash.
Yeah, thanks again for inviting me. And, you know, I really like your show, and so I'm happy to be here.
Yay! Well, please keep listening. Hopefully I'm able to entertain more artists. I'm always happy to hear that people listen. It's just not just me and my dad here. Hi, Dad. Thanks, Ash. And, yeah, I'll be checking up on Body World on your website.
Take care.
Okay. Talk to you later, man. Bye. And I guess up next, Crimes and Treasons. It's pretty much that time, isn't it? Is it that time?
It's that time.
Okay. That was Dash Shaw I was talking to. His book is Bottomless Belly Button, as well as all the most recent Moam anthologies from Fantagraphics. And Love Eats Brains from, what was it? Odd God. And God's Head from Teenage Dinosaur. And Mother Mouth from Alternative. I think RX Comics and Lucky's Comics will have stuff by them if you're in Vancouver. And if you're not in Vancouver, that's too bad. No, go check out your local comic stores. And, yeah, we'll leave off with another Hot Lava track. Talk to you later, folks.